The heavy metal door slammed shut behind him. And the man slowly looked around and took in his new surroundings. A small stone room, not long enough to fully stretch out in if he was to lie down, only wide enough for him alone. He looked up at the ceiling and saw the water droplets forming on the stones above his head. In this cold, dark, dank prison cell, the stench of the filth of its previous guests filling his nostrils. Then there was the silence, the cold, deathly silence, as he realized for the first time in his life he was truly alone. Isolated from outside contact, cut off from family and friends. Totally alone. As he sank down to the floor, he realized truly he was in a prison of his own making. Wrapped his arms around his knees, as he leaned up against the cold, rough stone wall, just rocked back and forth, trying to keep some warmth in his body, as he thought back to what got him here. $100. $100 lousy bucks. I mean, sure, his neighbor owed him the money, and so he had every right to ask for it back. But thinking about what had happened, he probably shouldn't have asked. After all, the mortgage on his house that he couldn't pay, the bank that was going to foreclose on him, decided instead to forgive the debt. And then he had gone to his neighbor and still demanded the $100 he was owed. When the lender found out, they weren't too impressed and had him thrown in jail. And so here he sat, arms wrapped around his knees, warmth bleeding from his body, knowing full well he was in a prison of his own making. I've been to jail a couple of times in my life as a visitor. One time we went was in Germany, and we went to a concentration camp called Buchenwald. And it was a really bleak kind of place, as you can imagine. What I didn't realize, you know, going there when we went, I believe it was in March we went, and we got there, and I didn't realize how cold it was going to be. But as we stood out there looking over the yard where the barracks used to stand, looked off to the right where the furnace room was, when you looked back through the fencing and you could see the zoo that was made for the guards and their families just on the other side of the wall, as you looked at the guard houses, you could just feel the wind, the cold wind just cut right through you, freezing cold. And you thought about the prisoners who had been there in a lot less clothing than what we were wearing as we stood there. It was a cold, bleak place, a place where I think people would feel very alone and really without any hope. The words on the door, this is now looking back towards the outside of the camp, mean to each his own, or everyone gets what they deserve, which is a pretty harsh statement for those who are standing there of no fault of their own. But I wonder this morning, I realize this is kind of a downer way to start. Have you ever felt alone? In a space in your life where relationships just kind of aren't really clicking right now, where you just feel like you are all alone. Maybe your only contact is by social media, Facebook, things like that. Checking out people's pictures on Instagram or following their Twitter feed. And while you kind of are in contact with a whole lot of people, maybe you have 1,000 Facebook friends or more, you really don't feel like anyone actually knows you or that you really know them. Maybe it's because you're in a marriage that's over time has started to grow cold. Not necessarily through any fault of either person, but just busyness that slowly takes you and pulls you apart, where you don't have a lot of close contact and communication like you once did. And now you begin to feel alone even in that relationship. Maybe it's old hurts from friendships or families, years gone by, just little things said maybe at a family dinner one time that over time never got healed and has become a source of bitterness and brokenness in relationship. Have you ever felt alone? You know, I think one of the reasons that loneliness is such a powerful feeling is that we were created differently than that. We were created for relationships. We were created to live with intimacy between us and other people. We were created to experience love between us and other people. And when we don't have that, it is such a break in how we are wired. It just feels totally off. And so that feeling of loneliness can be very acute. It can be very painful because it's not how we were made to be. Now, sometimes the loneliness that we experience is actually of our own doing. And in a sense, we lock ourselves in our own prison cell of loneliness because of the choices we make. Sometimes we may think that we're hurting someone else because of how we choose to let something go or choose to not forgive them for something, but really all we're doing is hurting ourselves in that space. We're locking ourselves in our own prison cell. I think that's one of the big causes of loneliness a lot of times is our choice to not forgive, others. And we're going to be talking about that today, how we can choose to actually get out of jail by choosing to forgive one another. It's one of our one another messages that we've been talking about all fall. We're all about the one another's this fall, about living together in community, in relationships together, and how we can do that well. And so today, we're going to talk about forgiveness and choosing to forgive one another. And we're actually going to give you an opportunity later to do this. Not necessarily to go up to someone else and talk to them during the service. Don't worry, I don't have to freak you out that much. But give you an opportunity to make a choice to forgive someone. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Before we get there, we're going to start by looking at a great text that talks about this just briefly. And so if you have your Bibles here with you this morning, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Towards the end of the Bible, you can find the book of Colossians. And we'll have it on the screen for you as well to follow along in just a moment. But let me just pray for this time in the Word and that God would speak to us through it today. Let's pray together. God, as we open up your Word again today, we just pray that you would meet us in the places where we're living right now. Lord, in the spaces where maybe we are feeling very alone, God, we pray that you would show us the way out of this prison we're feeling like we're in. Lord, help us to learn to forgive, that we could live in intimacy and relationship with others and with you. So, Father, we just thank you for your word to us today and pray that you would speak to us through it. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord, and minds to understand all that you want to say to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, short section of Colossians chapter 3, talking about forgiving one another. So, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's a lot in there. Just a few verses, but there is a lot in there. You start off in that first section in verse 12. As God's chosen people, it's who you are. Chosen by God. Selected, picked by Him. And as His chosen people, we're supposed to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, issues of character, who we are, how we express and live out our lives. And one way we do that is by choosing to bear with one another in relationship and forgive each other if we have a grievance against someone. So let's set that up a little bit. We're talking about someone who has wronged you, right? If you have a reason to forgive, it's because someone did something to you, maybe took something from you, but they have in some way hurt, harmed, or done damage to you. They have wronged you. Okay, let's just make sure that's out on the table. This isn't just an easy thing to do. Because honestly, you have a reason to hold this against them. Because something was done wrong to you, right? You have a reason why you may want to hold on to this thing. Like the guy who was in prison, who had held on to that debt from his neighbor, he had a reason to. He had loaned the neighbor his money. He demanded it back. Someone might have hurt us, wronged us, so we have a reason why we might be angry with them. And yet, the call and the challenge is to choose to forgive them. Don't continue to hold this against them. What does it feel like to hold on to something? To kind of nurture that feeling of injustice, that someone's done something wrong to you. Just to kind of think about how terrible they are and how wrong it was and, boy, how hurt you are. Do you ever start to play with that thought a little bit? Start to make it feel like a cozy blanket almost? Where you start to live in this place of really almost needing to be the victim. Forgiveness means choosing to no longer hold it against someone, that thing that they did. To let it go. To not hold them to account for it any longer, even if you're justified in doing so. Choose to forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Now, this next part is, I think, what makes it possible to do this, and why, and this is really a significant piece of this. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now you'll notice in the bottom, the title for this is Forgive. Right? Because we forgive because we are already forgiven. We forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now it may feel really uncomfortable, it may even feel wrong to have to, you know, be told to forgive people for stuff that they have done that's wronged you. You know, me standing up here and saying, you should forgive someone if they've done something against you. You should forgive them, have grace to them. You should be really nice and do this for them. Why should I do that? It may feel uncomfortable. It may feel really wrong. It may not feel like you really want to do it. But I want to share with you that Jesus, the one whom we are chosen by, knows what it feels like to be wronged. He knows what it's like to be you. Let me just share with you just a little bit about his journey. After dinner one night, this was Jesus' day. Okay, well, it's late in the day, actually. It wasn't even the whole day. This was late in the day of what happened to him. At dinner, he was hanging out with his good friends, and one of them walks out on him. Well, check in with him again in a few minutes. And the rest of them kind of, you know, finish up dinner and they go out to the hillside to pray. The one who walked out comes back, betrays Jesus to authorities who are there to arrest him, tells the authorities which one Jesus is so they can arrest him and take him out to trial. At that moment, the rest of his friends all abandon him. They run away. One guy running away so fast, he even lost his cloak and ran away naked, right? Like this, they were out of there. They were so terrified, all ditching their best friend. Even one who said, "Lord, everyone else may leave you. I will stay with you. I would die for you." He was gone like everyone else. He turned tail and ran. So Jesus is left alone, surrounded by soldiers, taking him away to be tried for something he didn't do. They haul him into this kangaroo court that the religious leaders have put on for him. They bring in a whole bunch of witnesses who can't even keep their stories straight because they're just making up a bunch of stuff about what he did. They're accusing Jesus of violating his father's house. And while all this is going on, that friend who said, "I'll die for you," is out in the courtyard saying, "Yeah, I don't even know that guy." Total rejection. Then Jesus gets pulled out by the soldiers, and he's beaten, and he's whipped, and he's mocked. They put a crown of thorns on his head and pretend he's like a king, but they squish down those thorns, and they rip into his scalp, and the blood starts to flow. All of this, even though he had done nothing wrong. He wasn't getting punished for his own wrongs. He was getting punished for ours. And for those of the people who were doing this to him. One of his friends, when they later reflected on this, wrote it this way. They said, "He came to his own, that being those that he had created, the ones he had made. He came to them, and his own rejected him." So there's Jesus. Quite a night after this one dinner that he was having with his friends. Having endured all this stuff and now hanging on the cross. Surrounded by criminals on either side of him, one to his left, one to his right, both hanging on the cross, justifiably for crimes they had committed, and Jesus hanging between them, beaten, whipped, tortured, hanging on the cross between them, looking down on the crowd of people that had put him up here, people who the week before had been calling him king and then had called for his execution, standing there looking down at them, and by extension down at us. And his words were, "Father, forgive them." Father, forgive them. This was a man who knew what it was to be wronged. A man who knew what it was to stand up with people putting false accusations to him. A man who knew what it was to experience isolation and abandonment. A man who knew what it was to be beaten for something he didn't even do. And he chose, as he was suffocating up on the cross, to use some of his breath to say, "Father, forgive them." So when we read in that text, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you," we need to get the fact that we have been forgiven for so much. We have been forgiven for so much. God has looked at us and he has met us in the midst of our sinfulness, in the midst of our brokenness, and said, "I choose through what Jesus did on the cross to forgive you." Just like the man who was in prison had experienced forgiveness of his huge debt, a debt he couldn't hope to repay. It was way too much. And the lender had said, "I choose to forgive you that debt." God has said, "I forgive you for what you've done through the work of Jesus. I forgive you for the broken relationship that we have, that alienation that you and I experience from God because of our sin, because we wronged him. Because of Jesus, We are forgiven for that. Our forgiveness wasn't deserved. It wasn't because we did something so well or we did something so great that God could say, you're forgiven. While we were still sinners, we're told Christ died for us. So if we've received that forgiveness so freely, why do we demand others to have to earn our forgiveness? We're forgiven, therefore, choose to forgive. Now, if you need a further push on this one, Jesus gives us one. There was a time that he was hanging out with his disciples, and his disciples said, hey, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? I mean, you're this guy who's healing people, you're casting out demons, you know, you got a really great connection with God going on. Like, can you teach us to pray? He says, sure, I'll teach you to pray. And he teaches them to pray, and coming out of that, he says, listen, make sure you forgive other people, because if you don't forgive them, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Have you ever let the words of that sentence sink in? As you're sitting across the table with someone who has really ticked you off and done something to you, and you're just thinking to yourself, yeah, uh-uh. Have you thought about what that means? And let Jesus' words in this text just sink into your mind and soul. Listen, I'm not saying this is easy. I know what it is to have those hard conversations. I know what it is to sit across the table from someone who, in some ways, you would just love to yell at. Someone who has hurt you deeply. But once we realize and recognize and own how much we have been forgiven, man, what right do we have to say we won't forgive someone else? So, here's what I want to do today. A twofold invitation to you. First is an invitation to choose to forgive someone today. My guess is you may already have someone on your mind. Just by going through life, let's face it, you walk along dusty paths, you collect dust on your shoes and on your pants. We went for a walk when we were down on Keats Island when I was away there a couple weeks ago, and Tara and I were out for a walk, and it was one of those rainy days. It's the Sunshine Coast, right, which is just a crazy name for that place. But it was just pouring rain, and so the path was wet, and we're walking along, and just stuff. Afterwards, we got back, and my pants up to about here were just covered in water and dirt. Like, it was just one of those days, right, where you're walking. That happens in life. We walk through life, we collect stuff, and it happens in relationships with people. Stuff just happens. And there's brokenness in relationships. We make stupid decisions. We do things to hurt other people. Other people do things to hurt us. It happens. But in that moment, will you choose to forgive them? So the invitation today is, if God is putting someone on your mind right now, that you know has done something that they have, you have no reason to receive your forgiveness, but you know they need it. You know you should give it. You know they've hurt you in some way. I want to invite you to choose to forgive them today. Now, to do that, maybe you need to take a moment and recognize your own spiritual bankruptcy, to recognize the fact that, you know, you're a broken person too. You're a person who's made mistakes. You're a person who is not perfect. I think I can say that pretty safely. I won't do that to you. I'll say, I'm not a perfect person. Maybe you can have a reflection similar to that. But recognize that in yourself first. And then look at what they've done and be specific about what it is you're choosing to forgive them for. Know what this is. Know what it is that they've wronged you by. Actually, maybe even state it to yourself. This is what they've done that has hurt me so bad. And then choose to release them from that debt. Choose to release them from your hold on them because of that. And then if it's appropriate and if it's needed, maybe tell them. It's not always. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes the person we need to forgive is someone who's no longer even around. But we still need to actually take time to forgive them for something that's happened. So I want to invite you today to choose to forgive someone. actually put this into practice and just go do it. The second part of the invitation, though, is here because maybe you have never actually received the forgiveness that God has offered when Jesus died on the cross for you. Maybe you've ever actually experienced the forgiveness that God has for you for the ways that you've wronged him. And so if you haven't done that, I want to give you an opportunity as well today to not only step out and forgive someone else, but to experience the forgiveness so that you know you're forgiven. Because it's from that it's so much easier to forgive other people. And so if that is something that you want and you have never had before, here's what you do. You agree with God that you have sinned. You agree with him that you have wronged him. There's stuff that we do just about all the time. And you know, the stuff that we would call sin is pretty obvious. I mean, there's stuff like lying, thinking thoughts that are really inappropriate, and you can probably figure out what inappropriate's about, whether thoughts of sexuality, thoughts of hatred, thoughts of lust, whatever. There's all kinds of different things that we do that are sinful. So acknowledge that. Just agree with God. He's told us that we have all sinned. We all fall short of his glory. So agree with him on that. And then acknowledge what Jesus did. The fact that he died on the cross, a historical event. He died on the cross, taking your penalty for sin and my penalty for sin on himself. And by dying as the perfect sacrifice, our debts were all on him instead. He paid for them all. So acknowledge what he did and then receive that payment for you. Just say, God, I accept Jesus' payment on my behalf for the sins that I've committed. And so if that's something you need to do today to receive God's forgiveness for you, that's how you do it. Just agree with him about your sin, acknowledge what Jesus did, and receive his payment on your behalf. And that can be done in a really simple prayer. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot as we come up to this 50th anniversary, it's a time really to reflect, just to pause and look back, right? It's one of those moments you get. There's those different moments in life that you sometimes are built-in moments to just to choose to look back at what's happened. And an anniversary is one of them, right? We do it in our marriages. We have an anniversary. It's a great time just to look back at the last year, or when you come across one of those bigger, you know, landmark ones, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, all 50, whatever. You kind of look back even further. And as a church, we have a chance with this 50th anniversary to look back and say, you know what? There's been amazing things God's done. But there's probably also been some stuff along the way where we've hurt each other. And what a great time for us just to make it right. To go back and maybe some of those long-standing things that were done 20, 30 years ago, whatever it was done, whenever it was done, to go back and choose to forgive and make those things right. We have an amazing opportunity. We have an amazing God who loved us so much as to endure all that Jesus did, all the wrongs he endured, just so that he could forgive us. So being forgiven, will you too choose to forgive? Let's take a moment and pray, and then we're going to take some time in response today. Father, thank you so much that because of the work of Jesus on the cross, we are forgiven. And Lord, for those who long to receive that forgiveness today for the first time, Lord, even now as they call out to you and just agree about their sinfulness, Lord, as they acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross for them, and as they receive that payment on their own behalf, Lord, would you assure them of your forgiveness for them? And Father, for all of us who have received your forgiveness, I just pray that you would overwhelm us with that. Lord, that we would be moved by your love and your compassion and your forgiveness to forgive one another for the stuff we've done to hurt each other, for the things that we've been holding on to for far too long. Lord, may we choose to forgive because we too are forgiven. Just thank you so much, Lord, that while we were still sinners, broken in the dark, in the prison that we've locked ourselves into, you chose to forgive us and give us freedom. We just give you thanks for that today, and we want to worship you today for all that you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.